first case today is 052070, Soin versus Greene County Board of Revision. And for the appellants, Mr. Gruenberg.
Yes, Your Honor.
Please.
Can I begin? Thank you. Good morning, Your Honor. I'm Jonas Gruenberg of the law firm of Coolidge Wall, and with me today is my partner Janice Paulus. And we represent the appellants in this case, Raj and Indu Soin. The Soins have owned a piece of property in Greene County for a number of years. I think they acquired it in the early 90s. In 2001, they made the decision that they wanted to build a personal residence on that property. The Soins are very successful people, and it's a rather elaborate residence. The property on which they built it is a property with very rugged terrain. It's 1,000 feet removed from a public right-of-way with only a narrow access road that's about 1,000 feet. They undertook construction knowing that given the Dayton, Ohio marketplace, there was no way they could sell the property in the open market for anywhere near what the cost of the property is. And that kind of gets us to the core of the dispute in this case. In 2003, or for the tax year 2003, they received a tax bill for the property, which estimated the construction cost of the property, and at that point taxed the property on 60% of the estimated construction cost because the residence was 60% complete. By the time the complaint was filed, since we run a year late, the residence had been completed. So we engaged a qualified appraiser, and the appellees have stipulated to the qualifications of the appraiser to evaluate the property based on the marketplace in Dayton. We presented that evidence at the Board of Revision hearing. We presented evidence from Mr. Soin that he didn't expect this to be an economic investment, that it was a personal indulgence, if you will. The testimony of a qualified appraiser who reviewed the marketplace and reached conclusions regarding value based upon transactions involving other high-end residences in the community, and also the evidence of a realtor named Colin Campbell, who is the, if you will, the premier realtor in high-end houses and has been through a number of experiences, which he explained, where houses just don't realize on sale replacement cost or the cost of construction. At the Board of Revision hearing, we were challenged on the comparables in one respect. There was a reference made to a transaction by the county auditor that was not included in our appraisal. When we investigated that, the county auditor's information was simply incorrect. You know, she referred to a $4 million transaction, which in fact was a $1 million transaction involving 100 acres, a modest house, so it was not instructive as to valuation. The record from the Board of Revision, we filed an appeal with the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board of Revision record was presented to them. We also, at the Board of Revision hearing, presented additional testimony from our appraiser explaining his appraisal. The only information presented by the appellee at the Board of Tax Appeals was a conveyance form, not for the subject property, but for an adjacent property, which a couple of years after the January 1, 2003 date, was acquired by the Soins. It was acquired for the purpose of protecting their property and avoiding development. The point that's been presented by the appellees is the valuation of that adjacent property, the land, somehow translates to the value of the subject property. There are significant differences in the property, and what we would point out to the court and what we pointed out with the Board of Tax Appeals is that there are significant differences. The second property that was acquired had significant roads frontage. It was basically a cornfield that could be easily developed, and there are many distinctions which make it inappropriate to take the value of that property and attribute it to the subject property.
Am I right? It's only the value of the land that's contested here?
Well,
And I understand you have this view. You've got to look at the whole
thing. Our value proposition is that once a piece of property is developed, you have to look at it as a whole. You can't distinguish land value from the improvement value. When the appellees made its presentation to the Board of Tax Appeals, it never challenged our valuation of the property as a whole. It only identified the land component of that as being inappropriate and presented this bare conveyance form without any testimony that would talk about comparability or differences to justify the conclusion reached by the county.
And that form was actually put into evidence, right?
The form was put into evidence.
Some uncertainty in the briefs on that.
But without any qualification.
I see.
The only testimony regarding that property was from our appraiser, who, and it's in the record, who distinguished it in many significant ways from the property. There is case law that conveyance form is good evidence of the value of property. But every case that was cited, both in the BTA decision and by appellees for that proposition, all involve a conveyance form that was specific to the property being valued. There is no case law that says that that a conveyance form for an adjacent property is best evidence of value for a different property, which is physically very different.
Did your own appraiser treat this as a whole, as you say? As I recall, he really didn't look at the land. He was looking at the buildings.
Well, our appraiser valued the property as a whole. It's a compound. Because obviously what happens once a piece of property is developed, then the value of the land affects the value of the building, and the value of the building affects the value of the land. So he looked at all comparable high-end residences in the marketplace and even outside the marketplace, reached conclusions of value based upon marketplace transactions. It's essentially our assertion, Your Honor, that the Board of Tax Appeals has an independent duty to value the property based on evidence presented to it. The only evidence of value in this entire case is the evidence that's been set forth by the appellant. It's our belief that the county auditor has scrupulously avoided appraising the property. All they've done is rely on cost, which in an appraisal process is one element of the process, but they have scrupulously avoided going to the marketplace and making a determination of what this property would sell for, given a willing buyer and a willing seller. And I think we know the reason for that. And that is that we have a property where its cost of construction is considerably greater than its market value. And that's not unique. I don't know the Columbus market as well as I know the Dayton, Ohio market, but we can point to office buildings. We can point to philanthropic buildings, buildings used for theater that have no market value, but the cost to construct them is enormous. Well, what we have here is a unique property that's uniquely valuable to this particular user. Anybody else who would try to acquire this property would pay a minimal amount for it. And that's the conclusion of our appraiser. And we think the BTA failed in its duty to affirmatively find the value based on evidence presented to it, because there was no evidence in the record that supported the conclusion of either the Board of Revision or the Board of Tax Appeals.
What was the purchase of the adjacent land by your client an arm's length transaction?
It was an arm's length transaction. Every situation is a little peculiar. The property was actually on the market for a period of time. It was put on auction. I attended the auction with the Soins. After a lot of reluctance, we actually made an opening bid on the property for $500,000. Nobody else bid. The seller rejected that price. We later participated in negotiations with them and ended up reaching an agreement at about $17,000 an acre. But again, Mr. Soin wanted to prevent this property from being developed. It's a cornfield. It's easy to develop. It's easy to put in, three units per acre housing on that property. And the property is so different in character than the adjacent property that is not a good indication of value. But it was an arm's-length transaction.
Okay.
I think through the questions and my comments, I think the court probably has the essence of our argument. You know, we would ask the court, you know, to rely on actual evidence presented of fair market value. We believe that the Board of Tax Appeals has an affirmative duty to determine value. We think the basis of value is what would a willing buyer and a willing seller exchange the property for, all having complete knowledge of the facts. And we think the only evidence that addresses fair market value is the evidence that appellant has presented. And the appraiser has been accepted by the appellees as competent to perform that task. So on that basis, we would ask you to reverse the Board of Tax Appeals and value the property based upon the evidence that's in the record.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Gruenberg. And Mr. Gorey.
Thank you very much. If it pleases the court, the appellant presented two propositions of law, and I'll briefly address both of those. The first proposition of law is, as I understand it, that you cannot use the sale of the 37-acre tract immediately next door, contiguous to the subject property. And our response to that is, of course you can. The use of the sale of vacant land is a fundamental part of the cost approach. The county did use the cost approach, that is the county auditor and the Board of Revision, to value this property. That is an eminently reasonable approach under the circumstances because we have a brand new piece of property. It's under construction, and as the appellant consistently admitted, this is a terribly unique piece of property. So the cost approach is ideal. Appellant's own appraiser, Mr. Weiss, used a cost approach to value the property. Now, he also used a market approach, but his first approach was cost approach, and he did it essentially the same way that the county auditor did. Mr. Weiss determined first the value of the improvements using a replacement cost. He took that from Marshall Swift. That's a replacement cost. His replacement cost was $6.4 million for the completed mansion. The County Board of Revision used a value, a replacement cost of $3.4 million for the completed structure. So the county used a value that was essentially half of what appellant's own appraiser used. The only difference was that the appellant's appraiser then went ahead and had added economic obsolescence, functional obsolescence, and the county did not agree that those were present. Then both of them took the value of the vacant land and added that to the cost, the depreciated cost of the improvements, and came up with a value. That value is the value of the whole. So everyone in this case has valued the whole. When you use a cost approach, you value the improvements, and then you value the land. And to value the land, you use the sale of vacant land. Okay. If you do accept their first proposition of law, then my response would be you're going to have to declare the cost approach to be illegal. And since the cost approach is consistent with 571501, I suppose you'd have to declare the cost approach violates the uniform rule under Article 12, Section 2, and that strikes me as being a fairly radical proposal. There was some discussion in the appellant's reply brief that the cost data that the county used to value the property was not in the record, and indeed it was. The statutory transcript from the Board of Revision is in the record, and Exhibit C of the statutory transcript contains the old property record card, which represents the auditor's original valuation, and the new property record card, which represents or reflects the value that the Board of Revision put on it. What the Board of Revision simply did was it decreased the value of the building because it used a lower reproduction, the Board of Revision used a lower reproduction cost per square foot than the county auditor originally had. So the value of the building went down. You multiply that times 60%, because everybody agrees it was 60% completed, so you ended up with a reduction in the value of the building. The Board of Revision then increased the value of the land, and they based that determination on the sale of the adjacent 37-acre tract.
Was there any, there was some testimony about the similarity or dissimilarity of that adjacent land, wasn't there, as I recall?
There was, and that testimony came from Mr. Weiss. The Board of Revision, in their decision minutes, which are also in the record, transcript Exhibit D, said we are increasing the value of the land based upon the sale of the 37 acres. And that value was, the sale price was about $17,600 per acre for the adjacent. The Board of Revision used $17,400 to value the 88 acres of the tract, and there was also one
house.
Okay. So that's in the record, too. And that brings us to the second proposition of law, and that is whether or not the use of that sale of the 17-acre tract was appropriate. That adjacent tract of land was probably the most ideal comparable to Mr. Soyne's land because it is right next door. So it's in the same location, it subject to the same geography, the same influences. There's no evidence to suggest that that's not an ideal comp, and it may well be the best comparable you're going to find. The issue, and the only issue raised by the appellant's second proposition of law, is what adjustments you should make to the $17,600 per acre sale price of the adjacent tract when you're valuing Mr. Soyne's tract. What adjustments, if any, what the extent of those adjustments would be. And that's purely a question of fact. Based upon appraisal evidence, the Board of Revision determined that no adjustments should be made. They said that the sale price of $17,600 reflected the true value or market value of Mr. Soyne's property, and so they simply used that. The appellant has the burden of proof. The appellant was required to prove that some adjustments, as a factual matter, as an appraisal matter, some adjustment should be made to the $17,600 square foot price when valuing Mr. Soyne's land. And that's what Mr. Weiss essentially attempted to do on direct examination at the BTA. The fundamental problem with Mr. Weiss is that he didn't appraise the appellant's 89 acres of land. So you've got an appraiser sitting on the stand saying, direct testimony, no, I didn't appraise it. I don't have an opinion of value of Mr. Soyne's land because I didn't appraise it. It's a fundamental appraisal error because I think USPAP required Mr. Weiss to do an appraisal of the land. You can't. Anyway, I think it was also a severe tactical error on Mr. Weiss's part. He simply assumed that the county auditor's value was correct, and I think he did that because he clearly understood that the auditor's value was so massively low that they're going to ride that or attempt to ride it. Anyway, all Mr. Weiss said, not having done an appraisal of the appellant's land, they had an opportunity to do that at the BTA. They could have presented, it's a trial de novo, like, as you know, they could have presented a full-blown appraisal of the land, but they didn't do that. Mr. Weiss was aware of the sale of the 37 acres. He testified on direct examination that he was. He was aware of that well before he testified at the BTA. The minutes of the Board of Revision hearing say we're using that 37-acre tract. So the appellant came to the BTA and did attempt to use Mr. Weiss to address the comparability of the two tracts, and all Mr. Weiss could say, not having done an appraisal, all he could say is that I feel that the value of the 37 acres is higher than the value of the 80, 8 acres, Mr. Soin's property. And that's not sufficient, that's not competent, that's not probative evidence of the fact that you have to make adjustments to the sale price of the comp to give you a value of the subject property. You need an appraisal. You need an appraiser who's going to take the stand and say, look, I've appraised subject property. The question is whether or not this is a good comp. Yeah, it's a good comp because it's next door, but you've got to make the following adjustments. This is why you make those adjustments. These are the adjustments you make. That is the proper way to do an appraisal. And that is exactly what type of evidence I think this court has previously said the BTA has to have before it. It's a failure of proof. It's a failure to carry their burden of proof. And so the BTA simply looked at the evidence and said, one, we don't accept Mr. Weiss's appraisal of the entire property. That's out. Two, Mr. Weiss has not presented competent probative evidence to convince us that the Board of Revision was wrong in using the sale price of the property next door to value Mr. Soin's property. That is the only issue. I think this court, under appellant's proposition of law number two, simply should look to the record to see if there is competent probative evidence in the record to convince this court that the BTA erred or made a mistake as a matter of law. And if you do so, if you reverse the BTA, I think you are acting as a super BTA, which this court has consistently said it will not do. I think those are the two issues in the case. The evidence of what the county did is in the record, as I indicated before. The minutes are in the record indicating what the Board of Revision did. The property record cards are in the evidence indicating what the Board of Revision did. The suggestions in the appellant's reply brief that there's a failure of evidence on the part of the county, I don't believe is correct. As you indicated in your question, the Board of Revision transcript did not include the conveyance fee of the sale of the 37 acres next door, but a certified public or certified copy of that was introduced at the BTA, but there's no doubt that that's what the Board of Revision was talking about as reflected by their minutes that are in the record. I thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gorey. And Mr. Gruenberg, you have about 4.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, if it pleases the court, I think the issue here is fairly well focused by the discussions that have gone before. Our appraiser did not have an opinion of the value because he was never asked to value the land as if it were vacant. Anytime residential appraisers value a property, while the land value or the location is an element of the value, the valuation is one of the whole, the land and the building together, and as it sits, what would it sell for between a willing buyer and a willing seller? The second issue we have with Appellee's position is they acknowledge that the only thing they have considered is a cost approach. Now, we disagree that their cost approach on the land is valid, because they took a different piece of property, they attribute the value to the subject property without any discussion or consideration of the differences in the property. And it's fundamental to the appraisal process that when you use a comparable, you adjust based on differences. And those may be positive and they may be negative adjustments, okay? There are three propositions of value in an appraisal. There's the income approach, there's the cost approach, and there's the market approach. And to have a valid appraisal, all need to be considered. Now, in residential property, it's acknowledged that the income approach is not relevant because it's not an income-producing investment. But to avoid the market approach, to avoid looking at what these houses would sell for on the open market, is a failure to properly appraise the property. And I think that this court and the Board of Tax Appeals has consistently held that if there isn't a recent transaction, which is the best evidence of value, you have to look at what the property would sell for between a willing buyer and a willing seller. We've tried to do that. We've presented evidence to that effect from a qualified appraiser, and the appellees in this case have scrupulously avoided addressing this issue. And it's for that reason that we think the Board of Tax Appeals did not perform its duty to independently determine value. And on that basis, we would ask this court to reverse the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals and determine a value based on the only evidence of fair market value in the record, which is the appraisal evidence of Gem Real Estate and Steve Weiss.
Very good. Thank you both, counsel. The case will be submitted to the court for decision.